All right, well, let's try that again. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I have my good mic plugged in so you guys hear me, hopefully in better quality than before. But anyways, thank you for coming to this week's Fireside Chat. So, I was going to say this is the last Fireside Chat before the conference, but we'll have one more, so it's the second to last. It is the last Fireside Chat before CPAC, which is not nearly as exciting, but I guess that's something. So we'll begin with the white pill of the week, as usual. We have a few of them. We have all of this new merch that is starting to arrive. It's fantastic. Looking forward to showing it to you at the conference. We've got some stuff that you've seen before, right? Lapel pins. We've got some new shirt designs and so forth, so it'll be pretty cool. When it comes to other white pills, let's see. So I was sent a story about this. This is kind of a smaller thing, but it was you know, definitely bigger. It was kind of big in the news cycle. A woman assaulted this guy wearing a MAGA hat at some restaurant, and apparently she was here legally. So it looks like she's going to be deported. I think ICE took her into custody, which is pretty funny. Other than that, you know, I'll confess I've been so busy planning for the conference that I haven't been keeping up with the news quite as much. I don't think there's anything like terribly white pilling out at this point in time. Maybe I'm missing something here. But the point is that I think we're kind of, I think quite a bit is going to happen in the next 6 months. But this past week wasn't terribly eventful, right? We had the Cohen testimony and so forth. And that was obviously, you know, he's, you know, claims that Trump said that black people aren't smart enough to vote for him. Obviously, that's not true at all, but nothing terribly interesting going on at this point. So, thank you, Philip. That is a good white pill. So we have last year we had, including speakers, about 150 people registered for Leading Our People Forward. This year we have about 190, and that's great. And I think we still have funds left. I don't know how many. Thank you to everyone who donated. Due to the donations that you guys gave to the organization or the LOPF sponsorship fund, we were able to get, I think, at least 10 to 15 more people out there, if not more. I think we do have some more funds available. So if it's a financial issue, it's a financial restraint that is, or constraint rather, that is holding you back from attending the conference, please reach out to Matt. We'll see what we can do. I want everyone who wants to and can attend to make it. And that should be the case every year. I'm willing to contribute a little bit more out of my own pockets if necessary, because this is going to be a fantastic event. Our great speakers, we've got great presentations. Honestly, just hanging out with everyone is probably the best part. And if you weren't at the one last year, you don't know how awesome it is to be around 200 people who are, you know, basically 200 people who are like mine in the same organization, who know the same people you know. You really feel like you're part of a tribe, part of a network, and that's because you are. You know, Mr. Taylor, I didn't hear this until recently, but apparently Mr. Taylor told someone that our first conference was the best conference he ever attended. This guy's been throwing great events, phenomenal events for decades. But, you know, some of the other conferences you go to, maybe it's a little bit of an older crowd, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, just, you want to, when you're talking about a movement, you want to have the youth, you want to have that energy, show that you're bringing in the new generations. So if you haven't registered for the conference, please do it. If you would like to donate to the LOPF sponsorship fund, we're still accepting donations. If you need sponsorship, please reach out to Matt. By the way, guys, be sure to thank Matt in the meantime and at the actual conference. He's taking the lead on everything here. His event planning skills are exquisite. And I have confidence that this event is going to be even better than last year. And he really knocked it out of the park last year. So thank you, Matt. He planned that our first event, which Mr. Taylor thought was the best event of his life, 21 years old, already planning phenomenal national events. We've got the best people. And by that, I don't mean that people outside of IE are inferior. It's just that people in IE are so amazing. And I'm talking about you guys, all of you, definitely. So let's talk about the activism roundup. Now, we haven't done too much activism, because because, you know, we have the conference coming up, and that's kind of our main focus. Let me open up our Minds account. I believe that's where we're posting things now. So a lot of flying as usual. Thank you all for – thank you everyone who continues to go out, put up stickers and flyers. It's the bread and butter of our activism. Don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't work, because anyone who's actually looked at these applications that people fill out and join our organization can easily discern that people are seeing these online and in person, saying, hey, there are people of like mind in my area. I'm going to fill out an application. So that is why it's important for us to keep doing this. There was a fantastic – action that took place in Oklahoma City. So Tamara Paulson was this nice old white woman who was killed by an illegal alien. I think she was, I think it was drunk driving. I'm not terribly educated on all of the fine details here. But anyways, our guys went out there, led by Conway, our Oklahoma coordinator, to erect this sign at the site of her murder. And they apparently were accosted by an obese Mexican woman who was calling, you know, them white trash. And you know, as we all know, it's we'll never be as classy as these people streaming across the border. That's why we're so grateful for them, you know, enriching us with their advanced culture. But in all seriousness, this was a great action. It picked up a lot of local media coverage. And I want you guys to be on the lookout for similar events, similar injustices that happen to our people. I want you to do similar things. We've got a great graphic design team. By that, I basically just mean Sean. And we have other people with graphic design skills, but he's just so good, works so fast, so diligent, that he basically does all of the graphic design at this point. And for that, we are absolutely grateful. That was a fantastic action. And, you know, when you do these actions, look, the people in public are so upset about these senseless murders from illegal aliens. There's not a lot of public support outside of, like, the illegal alien community, maybe the far left, for these illegal aliens to go out and do this stuff. It makes us look really good. You know, if you guys have been around for the for a while who will remember the Justine Damont Memorial, you guys should remember that. If you look at the top comments on all of these articles that were done on that memorial, and this was in The Guardian, BBC, Fox News, it got a ton of coverage. All of the top comments, virtually all of the top comments, were people taking issue with the fact that our tasteful and sincere memorial was being referred to as a hate shrine. There were people saying, I don't know what Identity Europe is about, but this seems like a nice gesture. Like I even said, if they're a hate group, I guess I support hate groups now. So maybe not the exact rhetoric and optics that we're going for here, but it just goes to show, this is how you win people over. This is how you hop on these issues. And when the establishment says that we're bad for taking issues with these injustices, it kind of makes other people call into question how much legitimacy the establishment has. As far as we're concerned, the establishment has zero legitimacy. So you're able to spread that message and convince people to see things the same way we see things, then that's the point of activism, isn't it? Right, Velasquez says, hey, Patrick, you see that sick banner drop in Utah? I did. I remember it happening a few weeks ago, though. I'm in a very concerned manner. I'm scrolling through Minds to see if I missed a recent banner drop in – oh, okay. Yeah, the activism round. I'll have to do the left-wing activism roundup soon. You know, I just got to feel bad for these people. They're out there, and they're trying, and it's it's really comical, guys. The students for – so check general chat if you have it. That is from an article that's in media.ie. So this was a banner drop that was done against us. It says expel Nazis. I think the Z is the wrong way. So that's something they should fix. It was done by – that's at the University of Utah campus, which is where much of our activism out in Utah has been centered around. This drop was done by the Students for a Democratic Society. Guys, this is like a left-wing – I don't know if they're actually socialist or they're just like really liberal. But they're a left-wing student group that's been around since the 60s. They've been around longer than most of us have been alive, and they don't have any, received wisdom from the earlier generations as to how to make a banner. That's just a sign that they suck. It's really that simple. 50 years from now, I can assure you that people in this organization will be making just banners that people, it will be like fine art. People will be trying to buy them off of us for millions of dollars because they look that good. But then you have these guys out there, oh man, this is just embarrassing. But hey, you know, it sucks to suck, as the saying goes, and as long as their banner drops look far worse than ours, they make themselves look bad and make us look good, right? Makes them look like slobs, and they are. But beyond that, that is our activism roundup for the week. Thank you, everyone. If you have a brilliant idea for activism, good. But wait until after the conference, because we just have so much going on. The activism team is working on the action that we are going to be doing the Sunday of the conference, which I hope to see all of you at. Just given how many people we have out there, I want to get at least 100 people out to this action on Sunday. And the more people that are out there, the less likelihood there is of a dox, right? It's how it goes. Social media posts where there's one person, that people, Antifa in that region, more often, sometimes they will tweet out that person and say, identify this guy. When we post a picture of 100 people showing their faces out in public, Antifa says, okay, these people are like, they don't, right? No one tries to find out where I live. No one tries to find, back when I was using the Reinhard Wolf alias, there wasn't some huge campaign, expose Reinhard Wolf. Now, if I had left the paper trail, sure, they would have loved to, but the more open you are, the more you say, here I am, we're out here, right? The less likely Antifa is going to be to try to go after you. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't. A lot of it's very circumstantial, contextual. But this action, guys, you'll want to participate in. And for those of you who are in the LOPF Slack server, please RSVP for the action in the appropriate channel if you haven't already. I'm going to be shilling for the action very hard the upcoming weeks, particularly Friday and Saturday of the action. Of the weekend. And that is to ensure that we get enough people out there to make this action fantastic. It will be the biggest national gathering of our people all year. So we want to make sure that the action is comparably large. So moving along. If you live in driving distance from CPAC, I would encourage you to come to CPAC. We're going to be doing a dinner on Friday night. You can get in touch with Matt if you want to RSVP for that. Please don't RSVP for the dinner in particular unless you are 100%, because we have made a reservation and we don't want a bunch of people coming out or showing up after not RSVPing and so forth. But, we're going to have people in the area basically from Thursday to Saturday. And I've set up a server so we can kind of coordinate. I know a lot of you guys are going out there with your college Republicans groups. You don't have to be seen with me in public. I have reserved a fairly spacious room at the Gaylord. And that is going to be a place where I'm not going to say too much, but we are going to be basically maybe hosting a parallel event after the main event. I think I can say that as much now. And by that, I mean after the main event gets out. Keep this in here, though. Inviting people back to, inviting the general attendees, maybe handing out flyers, word of mouth, to a presentation at the suite on location from me and perhaps a few other names you'd know about why the people at CPAC are wrong, about why they're controlled opposition, why they're grifters, why they're wrong about identity politics. We'll look to have it live streamed. I think if I can get some journalists up there, and so long as they agree not to take any pictures and just report on it, as is, which they generally agree to do, I think we have a good chance of upstaging CPAC quite a bit. We've learned from the White House visit that I can go to a place and do a thing that if, someone who doesn't have my views did, no one would care about, right? Pat Casey, without this job, without these political views, going to the White House would get 20 likes on my, personal Facebook that I don't have. But given that I have views that are deemed controversial and volatile by this corrupt establishment, by the powers that be, whenever I go and do something remotely political, depending on the context, it's like, oh no, he's You know, he's like a villain. He's out there at the, he's taking a White House tour. He's, you know, was he invited? Let's get to the bottom of it. There are still people that say that I was invited there by the Trump administration, which, I mean, I did push back on that. And, you know, no one can actually seriously use that against the Trump administration because it's so demonstrably false, right? We had Jonathan Greenblatt walk that one back, which was pretty amazing to see. But the point being with all of this is that I think that we could, you know, you're going to have all of these journalists there who are just going to be kind of bored. And it's like, oh, Candace Owens talking about, you know, but journalists like to cover us for a reason. Now, they do have an ideological bone to pick quite often, an agenda to push. But, you know, this is something that sells, right? Controversial right-wingers who are turning, you know, CPAC attendees against CPAC. That's a pretty great narrative. But again, this does require a bit of secrecy, so please don't, go talking about it on social media. In fact, don't do that. Don't talk to people outside of IE about that. But if you want to come and participate in all of this, I'd love to have you. It's gonna be a good time. I don't know how many people we can sleep in the venue. That really large, really nice king size bed looks too good to share. Sorry, but I think we might have some couch space. Space available. But anyways, that is what's going on this weekend. Again, we're gonna have stuff going on. Friday night dinner, this stuff, the actual CPAC. I think we might do some stuff on Saturday too. We'll see. But anyways, message me if you want an invite to the server. Moving along. I would like to remind you all that this organization cannot function without dues. Dues are fairly modest. $10 a month is not that much if you're working or, you know, maybe going to school and have financial aid. I don't know. Hopefully you're not spending your student loans on you know, identitarianism. But if that's how you pay your dues, I won't charge. But the point is that I need you guys keeping up to date on your dues. You guys need to do us until we get a system going that is automated, and what that basically is going to mean eventually is just you're going to get dropped after you stop paying for one. So maybe, you know, that kind of system isn't really what you want. What we have right now is a little nicer. We're never going to drop people after they become like, you know, he's 24 hours late on dues, time to axe him from the organization. Now, we normally give people a few months. I think more than 2 months, unless you guys have given me a specific reason why you need some extra time to pay your dues, is probably enough time. But the point is up until, you know, until we get that kind of system in place, please help out by paying your dues on time. You can do it through Zelle. You can do it through the P.O. Box. And both of those are available in the organization Discord channel on this server. If you don't know when your dues expire, you should know that. Set a reminder on your phone. And whatever you do, please don't be the guy who pays monthly and forgets every month. You know, if you pay every 6 months and you have to get reminded every 6 months, that's not the end of the world. But if it's, you know, if you're a month late every month, like, something's not working out. So set a reminder on your phone, and I'm looking at you. I'm pointing at the voice channel here, pointing at your names. If you don't know when your dues expire, then make sure that you go to members.identityeuropa.com, log in. You should all have the ability to do that. And then you want to go to my information, and then my info, and go there. So that is that on the dues front. I would like to remind you guys that you are expected to adhere to the guidelines outlined in the guidebook. The most three important documents are the three most recent ones. How we poster, you need to read through that before you put up a single poster or sticker. Membership guidelines, you should have read that by now. There might have, if you went through the pledge process, you had me read it to you, and then I asked you to read it to yourself before you became a full member. And then how not to get docs, written by our wonderful and talented server admin there. But I need you guys to know how to skillfully interact with dissident politics. If you go up and you start putting up stickers on, you know, the LGBT center of a private university, you're going to get in legal trouble. And I won't be able to do much, right? We might be able to raise a, you know, do a legal defense, you know, fundraiser for you. I believe people hanging, but I'd rather prevent that. I'd rather prevent that from happening. So don't put up a single poster of Flyer unless you've read Howie Poster. Go back and read through it, too. I think I could do with in fact, I learned one of the last times I went out to Flyer that I was in the wrong. Matt corrected me. I put a sticker on top of a trash can. I was reminded that that was not proper. I was rebuked. I was reminded that was not proper protocol. So if I can forget, all of you can forget. So please make sure to touch up on these things from time to time. Now, server rules. These are important as well. If you haven't read through them from start to finish, you need to do that. I understand that some, you know, virtually every other dissident right space on the internet, from Gab to your Twitter account to some forum to 4chan to, you know, your Epic Gaming Discord server, right, is you're able to basically say whatever you want. Maybe there's something she wouldn't say for obvious legal reasons, and that's smart. But guys, not only is it important for you to abide by these server rules, this server, but it's also important that you understand why we're doing this. We're not trying to prevent you from having fun. If a little bit of that happens on Discord as a result of these rules, well, too bad. We need to ensure that we have our bases covered before all else, before worrying about having fun. So the illegal activities thing is something we take very seriously. Don't even joke about it. There are lots of things that you just shouldn't joke about on the server too. Joking about, oh, we should do X to X group of people, don't do it. Don't joke about doing like really extreme or inhumane things to white people, to non-white people. It's just not the place for that. Basically, our philosophy here is that if an infiltrator gets in and starts screen capping things on our server, we don't want that person to get something that could be blown out of proportion, right? Because all it takes is one screenshot. Next thing you know, there's a Washington Post article, right? If someone jokes about a race war or something, even regardless of how ironic that person is being, that's going to, you know, Identity Europa plans for race war, and then, you know, all of these other outlets pick it up, and then it goes in our SPLC file, and Wikipedia pick it. It's really that easy. It's really that easy. And we don't want to give them any ammunition. We don't want to give them any rope to hang us with. And that is why the rule number one is the most important. Other than that, we just don't, you know, stuff that's really divisive. Obviously, some disagreements, okay, but it's really obvious when people are getting flustered, taking things personally. This isn't the place for that. I would argue that getting that upset over, you know, an argument over history or something is, I know people who've like had personal falling outs and ended friendships over, you know, disagreements on some obscure historical or philosophical fact. That's totally autistic. Not a good thing to do. Same thing applies to National Socialism, discussing weapons, right? These are just things we can't have on our server. So hope you guys all understand that. I think most of you do. I hope you guys understand that if a moderator or your coordinator is intervening to tell you that you're not operating in the right way, just be really respectful. Be really respectful. Your coordinator, they should be respectful too. If you feel that they've been rude to you, then you can let me know, because I tell the coordinators, the moderators, be nice to people. If you're telling them that they're doing something wrong, don't say, hey, idiot, you know, don't screw this up again. No, you say, hey, you know, well, you know, oh, you're new, welcome to the organization, but please, you know, please don't do this again in the future. This is why, you know, not a big deal for now, right? You know, we want people to be nice, because being nice is really important. It's really integral to getting people to not hate each other. I've seen so many organizations and relationships fall apart because people interact in a way that is unconducive to friendship, to camaraderie, and so forth. So we don't want there to be bad blood. We don't want it to be mean-spirited, and so forth. But you gotta, like, you know, start, you know, once you start talking back to the moderators, and, you know, especially if they're being nice, then, you know, it's just gonna tell me that, you know, you're not interested in following the rules. I don't think our rules are too extreme. So bear in mind that this stuff applies to other servers as well. This applies to every official IE server. If you make it a server and invite IE people to it, that's not an official IE server. So, I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want there. If I see, like, someone tells me you're doing something, like, really extreme or outlandish, then it might be an issue. But I don't like to wade into the waters of censoring shitposting on non-IE servers. So if your shitposting on a non-IE server gets so out of hand that I have to hear about it, then that's probably an issue. But I don't want to hear about it. Beyond that, one thing to keep in mind here, and this isn't just about Discord service, this is in general. So I understand a lot of people come to the dissident right because they've been exploring obscure, esoteric, and outlandish ideas. And then there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all arrived here because we were willing to question things that everyone else believed to be true, right? There's a lot to be said for the intellectual honesty and integrity of being so inquisitive that you're willing to go against the grain and discover the truth, or in pursuit of the truth. Hopefully you discover it. Quite often you don't. But I think that there's a tendency for people who develop kooky views on one subject to have kooky views on all kinds of other subjects. Now, if you have quote-unquote kooky views on race, right, but they're based in fact, then yeah, that's a good thing, right? You want to know the truth and so forth. But the issue is, I've noticed people have views on other things sometimes that are just so bizarre that I honestly just don't want them associated with IE. If you're sharing videos about conspiracy theories, talking about how America was founded by Satanists and you know it's run by I had one person in IE who's no longer in IE, it hasn't been for a while, try to convince me that the everyone you see on TV, all the politicians, all the supermodels, are all trainees. They're all trainees. And if you look at the jawlines and look at their facial features, then you can totally detect that they're trainees. And yeah, it's a whole rabbit hole to go down. So I'm not going to kick you out for having, shall we say, unorthodox views on some of these subjects, but I'd rather you just don't talk about them within an IE context unless you know the person's like really interesting. And I don't want to see that stuff on the servers, guys. It's okay to explore, it's okay to explore an idea without believing in it. That's a botched paraphrase of an Aristotle quote, but I totally believe that, right? I'm willing to hear out any obscure thing. But as Mr. Taylor said, it's good to be only want to be a kook on one subject. Because if you have really outlandish views on race and you also believe, yeah, America's run by Satanists or America's run by trannies or something else, like it doesn't matter how legitimate your views on race are, they're gonna say, oh, look at this guy or look at this organization that promotes all of this other wacky stuff too. Right? And I think it's important for everyone to keep in mind that you have to be very critical of things on the internet. Through YouTube, through podcasts and articles, there's just so much information out there. It's never been easier to make a claim for something than it is now, to make a case for something. You can make a case for anything, right? There are people that make convincing cases for, aliens being responsible for the pyramids or whatever. And I think that's actually one of the least... One of the least outlandish conspiracy theories as far as conspiracy theories are concerned. But I can't have that stuff on IE servers. You can pursue that on your own. But again, just keep in mind that you should. There's a big difference between saying, hey, I think it's possible that X could be true, and saying X is definitely true. If the trainee person, the person believing in the trainee theory, I shall say, the person wasn't a trainee. If that person had told me, hey, I've saw these videos and kind of had me thinking, it's far out there, I don't know if it's necessarily true, but it could be possible, then I would have said, wow, yeah, this is really far out there, let me watch this video. Yeah, I don't think it's true, I here's why. You could have left it at that, because then I would have thought, well, this person is just exploring some, seeing if this is true, seeing if that's true. Yeah, sure. That's how we arrived here, is because we were willing to hear out ideas that everyone else said, oh, no, this is totally false, right? We've all experienced that. When you try talking to some people, you just see the stoplight go up in their eyes, or the stop sign, rather, and they're just like, oh, I will go no further. And there are many reasons for why people do that. Some people just aren't smart. Other people are bound by conformity. They're scared to wade into the unknown waters of off limits intellectual inquiry, right? That's all that it is. So again, it's one thing to kind of consider these things and talk about them on your the right place, not on IE servers, and again consider them. But once you start saying this outlandish idea is definitely true. Well, you know, you better hope it actually is, because otherwise you're just making yourself look like a lunatic. But I'm not going to get into which conspiracy theories, whatever, but just kind of keep in mind, like, the more outlandish stuff, and you should know what that is. It doesn't have, you know, you can talk about that on other servers. There are plenty of other places on the internet to discuss this stuff. So the reptilian stuff would be a good example of that. If you've gotten convinced by watching so many YouTube channels that our elites are shape-shifting reptiles, I'd rather not know about it, to be perfectly honest, but I definitely don't want to see you posting on it about that stuff on our server. And when it comes to exploring other ideas too, any ideology that, or any, you know, school of inquiry that involves violent revolution is like, it's kind of its main thing, is something I don't want discussed on our servers also, for even more obvious reasons. Propertarianism is a good example. For whatever reason, that, you know, obscure internet philosophy has made a resurgence recently. Look, I get that Kurt Doolittle makes points here and there, but given that it's just so inextricably linked to violent revolution, and he's like, oh, here are these, you know, here are these power grid, you know, here are the weaknesses in the U.S. Electrical grid. Like, I don't want anyone discussing any of that on the server. So some of these philosophies that are just like part and parcel with violent revolution, yeah, if we're discussing that on our servers and someone finds out about it, you know, it's, I just don't want that to be the case. So, shape-shifting reptiles. So yeah, that is the reptilian conspiracy theory, which, for the record, I don't believe in. I was using that as an example of one of these outlandish conspiracy theories that you read on the internet. If you want to have a laugh and look into it a little bit, look into David Icke. But please keep in mind that, you know, that's a funny one, and I've talked about that one with friends who are really into conspiracy theories. I was like, look, I have no way of really knowing if there are, I can't disprove that there are, you know, shape-shifting lizard men somewhere in the universe. However, that claim is so, so out of line with all of the evidence that we have, both rationally and empirically, that I would need to physically see one of them in person in order to believe it. Maybe there's some other ways I could be led to believe it, but it's not going to be YouTube videos or blogs. David Icke is the guy who's known for that. I think he's been on Red Ice. Shouldn't be too surprising, but yeah, anyways, I just want to keep in mind that, you know, we have a message that is out of line with the norm, that is out of line with what people in polite society believe, generally speaking, with some exceptions, obviously. And, you know, for that reason, we don't want to get too far out there on other subjects, too, because that's just going to ensure that we stay forever in the fringe. Now, at the same time, if you want, I don't want to tell people not to explore certain ideas, but you just got to keep in mind that our servers are not the place to do that. So, moving along, I want to talk to you guys about America. I want to defend America. Because the idea of America the idea of America is kind of up for debate at this point. There is a battle to define America. And whoever has the successful definition wins, but I think the more accurate way of looking at it is whoever wins is going to have the successful definition, right? It's ultimately an issue of power relations. Whoever has power gets to say, well, America's about this. Well, you know, back in the day, people in power wanted to preserve a white society, right? What did they say America was about? Well, they said it was about, you know, a lot of things, but for white people, predominantly, at least. Well, a new elite took over after World War II, perhaps, you know, a little before that, and they started redefining America, right? America, to so many people, is civil rights, right? It's civil rights. And, you know, before Martin Luther King, well, let's not talk about that. Even conservatives see things the same way. And that is, you know, it's unfortunate. It's something we do need to push back against. But we shouldn't accept the other side's framing on our country. We shouldn't. You know, particularly people whose ancestors go back to, you know, the Mayflower or, you know, the old WASP stock. Now, I am from the Ellis Island stock. My ancestors came over, you know, early, you know, about mid 19th century, yeah. And you know, they went through a hard time, right? It wasn't easy. And, you know, my family eventually worked their way up, and most everyone on both sides of my family are pretty successful. So I feel an attachment to this country for that reason and for other reasons. And again, if your ancestors came over and, like, you know, to an uninhabited wilderness and carved, you guys were like the first people here, you should be the ones even more adamantly defending America's existence and identity than me. But all of us as white people certainly have a claim to America. Now, the left and, you know, fake right have redefined America to mean, you know, open borders, right? You know, there's no restricting immigration at all, if you listen to some of them. Tranny bathrooms, right? And, you know, diversity, tolerance, inclusion, multiculturalism, all this mishmash of just garbage that is designed to reduce this country to the level of the third world, because the elites obviously won't have to worry about that. But the point with all of this is that we should not accept that as a definition of America. White nationalists and other types that are focused on white identity have historically done that. They've said America's dead, America exists just to genocide white people now. And I would say, well, America is not dead at all. If this thing that you thought was so bad, meaning America basically was dead, well, it wouldn't be an issue. No, America is totally going strong. You know, maybe there'll be a recession. I don't know. Who knows? I don't think there's going to be any kind of like huge economic collapse that destroys the country anytime soon. So yeah, I mean, the system works for better or for worse, and I think largely for worse for us. So expecting some kind of collapse to come sometime soon, well, I guess it's always possible, I'm not counting on it. But the point with all of this is that we shouldn't conflate issues with America's ruling class in a government at this point in time with America itself, right? You shouldn't be a nationalist who hates your country. That's just really goofy. You shouldn't be an identitarian who hates your country. But at this point in time, if you don't take issue with the corrupt globalist ruling class that is running this country into the ground, then there's something wrong with you, right? But we obviously are all on the same page there, so I don't need to preach to the choir in that regard. However, I don't want to see people in this organization, and I don't see it. I only see it from, you know, some people, you know, on the fringe, right, talking about how America's dead, how you shouldn't wave the flag. The flag belongs to them. America's, you know, patriotism for America means promoting training. It's not the case, guys. That was the case if it was over and everyone in America but us believed that America was about mass immigration and trainee bathrooms, then Trump wouldn't be president. But he is president. That is because our people, the descendants of real Americans, right, heritage Americans, you know, heirloom Americans, as some would call, you know, these multi-generational white people in America. These, you know, our people basically have, in general, rejected that, or at least much of that definition of America. So we should do that, right? When the left says America's about, you know, diversity, tolerance, and inclusion, or open borders, well, we have so much on our side. They're actually wrong about that, and that is why we shouldn't give it up. We shouldn't give it up for that reason alone. They are lying. They are whitewashing history. They are rewriting history. They're trying to gaslight our people into believing that America is about, yeah, again, all of this left-wing degeneracy. Well, guess what? It isn't about that. And if you say that you're a nationalist, you say that you're an identitarian, and you say, yeah, America is about all, it's always been about, what hasn't? No, it hasn't. And again, things have taken a turn for the worse since World War II. But guess what? That's what we're trying to fight back against. That's what a lot of white people are trying to push back against, even if they don't refer to themselves as identitarians. No one wants open borders, except for lunatics on the left, right? If you had to put up a vote today for white people, you know, do you want to become a minority in this country? Guys, that would not pass. That would not pass. Most white people don't want that. Most white people do not. But obviously there's never going to be, you know, a plebiscite on something phrased that way because it's so obviously undesirable. But America is ours. America's history is ours. America's identity is ours. We are Americans, and without us, there cannot be an America. That is what we have to be about as identitarians in this country. We have to point out that America's identity is under threat by globalism. America's identity is going to be erased in America will be no more as the result of mass immigration in particular, though certainly other factors are at play as well. And that is why we should defend America. We shouldn't give it up. And I hope you all can understand where I'm coming from. There's also a lot of strategic merit in pointing this out, right? A lot of white people, their appreciation for America is something that is rooted in kind of an unconscious sense of racial identity. They wouldn't put it in those terms, right? It's implicitly white. But there are a lot of people who at this point in time don't terribly relate to the word white. They might recognize that they're white, but you know, it's not, you know, a lot of them just, it's never been a huge factor in their life, but it's quickly becoming one. It absolutely is. You know, white identities existed in this country in a way that it is different than how it exists now and how it will exist in the future. White identity as existing in the minority in this country, we're pretty close to that happening. It's going to happen. It's not going to be the end of the world. That is something different than white identity as the majority, right? Identity is defined by, you discover your identity by bumping up against something else, right? Your personal identity in terms of who you are as a being, as a conscious life form, is, you know, largely, you find out what you are by finding out what you're not, right? You walk into a wall, you find out, okay, this is something different than me. That didn't feel good. You bump up against stuff that isn't you. And that is how identity works in a metapolitical, civilizational, or racial context as well, right? So in the past, there was a lot of identity based around, okay, we're not these African slaves, we're not these Native Americans. And sure, there were some issues between the WASPs and the Catholics coming in. And, you know, if anything, that just is more evidence that multiculturalism doesn't work. You know, there are a lot of issues for multiculturalism for white people, absolutely. But obviously those were able to go away as people assimilated and so forth, and assimilated in a way that, you know, whites and blacks never will. That's probably a good thing. But yeah, I just want you all to kind of have that perspective on America. You know, we can disagree here and there, but I just think it's really lame to say, well, America's dead, so we're just going to, you know, we're going to exit. We're going to exit the system. We're going to carve out an ethno-state somewhere else. Viable option. I'm not against it. But here are a few things to keep in mind with regard to the ethno-state argument. If a white ethno-state were to sprout up somewhere, that would be immediately seen as the single biggest threat to globalist hegemony. That would immediately be seen as a greater threat than Russia, Iran, India, Russia, Iran, those are the big boogeymen generally. And that's precisely because such a state would be fundamentally in revolt against the kinds of ideas and values that are propagated by our ruling class as a means of controlling the masses, right? Now, what would happen if that state came up overnight? It would probably get bombed by NATO and America. That is my perspective on things. I think that whatever happens in America is going to determine the fate of the West. It absolutely will. This is a country of unprecedented wealth, power, and might. And to believe that we can just carve out some little place elsewhere is, at this point in time, very foolish. Now, if America shows signs of balkanization, I think there's some kind of secession could be an option. But it's going to happen, if we're going to be honest, on regional lines. It's going to happen along regional lines rather than explicitly racial lines. But like the schism overall in this country, it will be along implicitly racial lines. You know, I wrote an article for Red Ice back in 2016 that the more I look back on is totally apt. It was more apt than I knew back then. The title was Implicit Race War. I was not advocating for an implicit race war. I was describing what's happening in the country. It's important to keep that in mind, right? You know, if you're only consuming white identity podcasts and videos and all that stuff, I think people sometimes just think about race a little too much, right? Only seeing things through the race lens. Now, obviously, race is very important. We don't want to get wiped out. We want to have a country where most people are like us. Yeah, sure, we can all agree on that. But it's important to keep in mind that, you know, this schism that is happening in this country, this divide,
is not white versus non-white. It isn't. It isn't at all. I don't think it's ever going to become that. However, the implicit race war comes in. That term refers to what's happening because the country's fracturing along implicitly racial rather than explicitly racial lines, right? It's basically red team and blue team. And I conceive of what we're doing in identitarianism as being on the red team, right? For us to say, no, we're a third faction. We're just all about white identity. We're not right or left. I think that's going to basically be sitting on the sidelines of history. I do think this country, the country's undeniably polarizing to such an immense extent. And I think the only way for us to get out of clown world, for us to defeat leftism, globalism, the bankers, all of that, is for the red team under the right leadership, very important caveat, to dominate the blue team. That's what needs to happen. That's why we all supported Trump, right? Now, obviously, there are issues with Trump. We'll see what he does. But the point I'm trying to make here is that red needs to crush blue. We need to see ourselves as part of red. And that's because we are. We are. There's a reason why all, the people who are sympathetic to us are on the right. There aren't tons of, like, Bernie bros or, DSA types who are, like, sympathetic, but they don't totally agree. No. They would have to, they're fundamentally opposed to what we're about, right? I mean, I can go talk to some goofy Reaganite conservative at CPAC, and he'll tell me why he's wrong, and he'll say he'll agree, he'll fight for my right to say these opinions he disagrees with, sure, whatever. I could go up to a DSA person and tell them what I'm about, and, maybe they'd get on the phone and call up some, cooligans to come try to beat me up, right? So it's very different. However, we need to have a culture that isn't cartoonishly right-wing, right? It doesn't all need to be loud and angry and, oh, we love war and jingoism. No, of course it's not. We need to be able to recruit from both the right and the left, even though we are ultimately on the right. That's the way I see this. And that is, I think that's one of the good things about the term identitarian, because it is something that isn't inherently right or left wing. However, I think the term nationalist is really good too, and that might be the better term to use kind of when you're interfacing with, the Trump sphere and you're trying to tell them what you're about, right? The term identitarian is good. It's a little more on the intellectual side, and there's a time and place for that as well, too. We have Bernie bros in here, absolutely. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to recruit them, but it's not as if, we should be open-minded, and we are open-minded economically, right? To be right-wing does not mean you have to support free markets above all else. You can, the governments in Europe that combine social conservatism with economically left-wing policies, they're still right-wing as far as I'm concerned. They're still on the right. The left knows that they're on the right, which is why they're always freaking out about Poland and Hungary. Ooh, these bastions of right-wing whatever. So just because they have left-wing social policies that I think are pretty good for those countries does not make them left-wing. So similarly, if people in this organization, you favor kind of Bernie bro economic stuff, hopefully not the open borders element to all of that, then I think you can still do that and be an identitarian and be a nationalist, right? Because nationalism isn't, the furthest right ideology by any means. In fact, the first left-wing movements were essentially nationalist, right? The French revolutionaries were nationalists. France for the French, for the people. For the people is basically the cry of leftism, right? Of democracy, of any kind of democratic government. It is of the people, for the people. That marked a dramatic shift from the kind of divine right to rule that defined the ancient regime, the monarchies of Europe. I think people might take issue with me referring to Louis the 16th as part of the ancient regime. I'm not that far into the monarchy stuff, so forgive me if that's the case, but it's just kind of important to keep these things in mind. But to recap, we are on the right. We have allies on the right. If these people aren't publicly speaking up for us, it's because they can't, right? I know that Tucker Carlson has watched Red Ice and liked Red Ice. I know I've met Breitbart, journalists. I mean, I met one Breitbart journalist who told me she was a huge IE fangirl, right? There are a lot of these people out there, guys. But, you know, if it doesn't seem like it, again, it's because these people have jobs. They can't go tweeting, oh, I love IE, I love this, you know, and so forth. So, yeah, that's basically the gist of what I wanted to say to you guys. We need to defend America. America is ours. We're not ceding America to the other side. If secession ever becomes some kind of, you know, viable political strategy, then sure, but we're not nearly at that point. So kind of staking ourselves out for that is not going to get us anywhere. Moreover, we need to have allies on the right. We shouldn't see ourselves as this thing that's, you know, separate from right and left. But at the same time, we should absolutely be against the establishment right, against the GOP, or at least the bad people in the GOP, against, you know, TPUSA, and so far as they support things that we dislike, and, you know, they're grifters and whatever else. And I'll be honest, the CPAC lineup this year is atrocious. I think Nick Fuentes pointed out on Twitter that they have, you know, they've got like three panels on Israel and one on immigration. That's absolutely something that they should be called out for, and I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. But, yeah, we just have to be thinking along these lines. I don't want us to get caught up in fantasies and excessive theorizing about, oh, here's why we should support this. But that's basically all I have for you tonight. So sign up for the conference. If you want to donate to the sponsorship fund, we're still doing that. If you want to receive sponsorship for the conference, then reach out to Matt. But otherwise, we'll go to questions, comments, and concerns as usual. Now, Q, for the Q&A, what do you think of using the term revolutionary conservative in the context of prospective political campaigns? I personally think it's a great label. I think there's someone who already uses that who is a bit out there. Let me see.
Hey, Patrick, it's Conway. Can I make a few comments on our action?
Sure, let me answer this question first.
Okay.
So revolutionary conservative is, I mean, I like it. I don't think that's really the best for what we're doing outside of an intellectual context. Augustus Invictus, who's an interesting character, will say that. I think that's his website. The Revolutionary Conservative. I think that's his. That's not, you know, that's his brand. I don't want to necessarily be associated with it, given his, you know, goat sacrificing and blood drinking. Nice guy, for what it's worth, but maybe not someone we need to be too associated with. So the Conservative Revolution too is Conservative Revolutionary Movement is pretty good too. It's not totally what we're about. That was, you know, I believe like Ernst Jünger, Evola, those types. So that's something, you know, it's really good for us to read.
Sorry about cutting you off there. I had my headphones deafened, and I turned the sound back on and just heard silence, so I didn't mean that. But anyway, guys, I'll post the tweet that I made. It's a big thread. It'll have all the information, the details about what happened that led up to this. But I just want to stress the importance of our activism to you guys. Like, in case you guys were maybe had questions about, are we doing stuff the right way? Is this really going to work? I really feel like we just hit a big milestone for IE in that we went out there with a specific goal. The reason we did this whole thing is because the media completely ignored the fact that the driver of that car was here illegally. They completely ignored it. And this was during the government shutdown, and they were on their Facebook pages. They kept running all these stories about, oh, some sad bureaucrat is having to take a part-time job as an Uber driver. I mean, so clearly they were just like trying to shape public opinion to, you know, be against the wall and against this fight for the border wall. But then when a resident gets killed by an illegal alien, they completely ignored it. So we went out there with the specific goal to do a provocative action that was going to get the media to cover this and find out if the guy was here illegally, which he was. I confirmed it through law enforcement. I was not going to, you know, have that egg on our face. But we went out there, we did it, we got a reaction, and sure enough, today, Channel 9, the station, which is actually, like, this is twice they've done this, they've blurred out our name. Of course, they smear us as neo-Nazis and everything, but I was shocked. I really was, but they came out with a story last night that confirmed that the guy was here illegally, and that's just... I'm really on cloud nine today when I saw that, because we had a goal, we went out there, we accomplished it, and, you know, think about it this way, our brothers over in Europe and GI, you know, when they did the Defend the Alps action last year, they were so successful that they got the French government to respond to their actions, and to not just respond, but take action. I believe they were protesting like a weak spot in the French-Italian border in the Alps, and they got the French government to beef up security out there. And, you know, it's, you know, they've been doing things for a long, long time, but it's just a matter of time before our actions result in state governments and the federal governments not just responding to them, but taking the action that we're bringing attention to. So, anyway, I don't want to take up any more of you guys' time. Just wanted to let you guys know about that.
Thank you, Conway. Yeah, that was a great action, definitely. Next, Nord. Status on the Chicago conference speeches. Those are being edited as we speak. Vivabo, is it too late to join you guys at CPAT? Absolutely not. Love to have you. Shoot me a message, and I'll get you on the server. Ekartev, apologies if I've mispronounced that. Autistic question with a V, nice. Server admin a person or a generic account held by multiple people? He's actually a person, if you could believe it. I know the precision with which he moderates the server is machine-like, but he exists. I have met him. He's a good guy. I like him. Trishan in the Desert, I know the Guardian program and is peacefully sunset until after the conference, but will the jackets have... I might butcher this. Epaulettes. I actually don't even know what that means. That's what I thought it was. Epaulette. Learned a new word today. I haven't gotten that far into the Guardian program to figure out whether or not the jackets will have epaulettes, but I'll get back to you. Godric, more of a comment rather than a question. Stefan Molyneux recommends you disown leftists, including family. Yeah, he does. He ran a cult in the past, he sure did, that required you to abandon your family and recently instructed his followers to cut people out of your life. They wear Nike shoes. I would encourage members of IE not to follow any of his advice. Yeah, I would say, you know, there's a certain point at which people's political views just become insane. Maybe that's the point, like if you're... Family's like, oh, we should, all white people should be put into camps, or like, I don't know, something. And then, yeah, maybe that's, but it just becomes more of like a personality issue than politics. And don't end relationships over politics, unless the people are toxic, but then again, the issue there is toxicity. I've got plenty of liberals in my family, and, you know, they haven't disowned me, so I have no reason to disown them. I actually would like to, for after we win, for things to be less politicized, I think most people shouldn't really have much to do with, you know, the affairs of the... It's, I mean, a lot of it's kind of a manufactured identity thing, right? Social media, mainstream media, you know, promotes tribalism along racial and ideological lines. And it's just really sad to see people ending their friendships over that. Yeah, Stefan Molyneux did run a cult, the DeFuin cult. Not sure if the website's still up, but it was very, it was really something. I'm not sure who ran it, but, you'd read the website and it seemed like fairly objective. And then it had like profiles of people who were part of the defiling movement, or basically called, run by Stefan Molyneux. And it would be like, oh, like here's John. John is a fourth year college student at so and so. And then it would launch into like, you know, just really terrible personal, you know, diatribes against these people. Like, you know, John tried to become a man, but unfortunately, like his you know, growing up without a father made him a loser. Now he can't find a girlfriend. It's just like it looked like you're like reading testimonials for this club, and then it's just, I don't know if it was Stefan Molyneux writing this stuff, but it was pretty terrible. But yeah, if any of that's still out there, I'd recommend looking into it. It's pretty bizarre. But, you know, Stefan Molyneux has alluded to childhood trauma, so who knows what kind of, you know, circumstances he was subjected to that led him to, you know, that kind of weirdness. But I think he's been a net positive for us politically, so on that note, he's pretty good. But yeah, ending, you should think very carefully before ending relationships with your family. Bjorn. Robert Putnam, the Pluribus Unum paper I started reading, is that the study you cite by the author when talking about diversity? Yes, it is. Absolutely. I read Bowling Alone, which was pretty good, but it doesn't really get into the race stuff too much. The Pluribus Unum is the academic study that he's... the effects of diversity on social cohesion. It's really good, too, because once you're reading through that, you're like, all right, what kind of arguments is he going to make in favor of diversity? He makes, in this 40-page academic study, he makes the food argument. He makes the restaurants argument. There's some line in there about, like, and how could we, you know, forget the exquisite cuisine that his offer. It's just like, this is, you know, you're supposed to be reading an academic study, like, not really defending diversity, just dealing with diversity. They, like, they still can't find anything else to use. Now, I know that everything he writes in there doesn't back up what we have to say, right? Like, I think what he says is, like, oh, in the long term, like, the benefits of diversity are going to really, boy, they're really going to make things great, which is fantasy. But still, you know, they still call him a white supremacist, so I guess he's... helped out our side somewhat. Nico the Great, is it worth using slogans that have become trendy in future poster designs? For instance, having posters that say it's okay to be white with our logo. I would say we don't use that. Here's why. The brilliance of It's Okay to Be White was that it was not associated with any organization that could be used to, oh, you know, hate group puts up this organization. And in fact, people on poll were rightfully upset when, like, TWP and others put up It's Okay to Be White posters with their name on it. Totally defeated the purpose. Because the purpose, right, is it's just a message. There's no messenger that can be subject to character assassination. In fact, there were some non-white people who were putting up these posters. I saw the, you know, pictures of, like, black and brown hands putting these up on 4chan, which was pretty awesome. So is it worth... I mean, that's just one example. I'm not against capitalizing on trendy posters in the future. We definitely want to have our... you know, main flyers be our own stuff, but, you know, if there's ever a you know, potential to do that, then sure. Nord, favorite video game? That is a good question. You know, I'll say a lot of people have been trying to get me to play Minecraft recently. I've never played Minecraft once. I don't think I ever will. So if that's where this was leading, I'm sorry, I'm paranoid about people asking me to play. I don't know why it's been a thing the past few weeks, but all time, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, there's been games I enjoyed quite a bit in the past, but I'm not huge on video games at this point, so. I'll just say Final Fantasy VII so I give you something. I know that's kind of the main Final Fantasy. I'm a total casual when it comes to these things, but that's okay. Friday, NorCal is legit AF, but our member count, however increases slowly. ... What's getting the honeys in your area? I don't know if he meant to say homies or he meant honeys. Are you referring to female members exclusively, Friday? We haven't had... most of the members coming into my area have been male. We have had a few female members. You just have to keep doing activism. keep getting yourself out there. That's really the only way to do it, honestly. You can network with other groups. By that I mean, you know, TPUSA, College Republicans, MAGA meetups. See if you can get people in that way. Go on subreddits where our people like us would, you know, frequent. But you know, most people come in through activism. Bjorn, should we start a NASPAL alliance with African Americans to get rid of the others by favoring nationalizing universities? I don't think that's a. I mean, you're probably someone kidding here. So, but I don't think that's a legitimate strategy. And in fact, I think the fact that you use the term NASPAL is probably a giveaway that you aren't being terribly serious. So, Dixie Boy, do you have Red Dead Redemption 2? You LARP as a cowboy. Familiar with those games. They look kind of cool, but I haven't played either of them. I think I'm basically at the point in my life where I don't know if I'm going to play any new video games. If I was at someone's house and they offered me a controller, sure, maybe I'd play a little bit, but I don't have any systems. I have a laptop that doesn't have a graphics card. I can play, I think I've looked it up, and I can play some games at like the lowest quality, but I'll be honest, I don't think video games are terribly satisfying. And in fact, you know, there's evidence that they, you know, they kind of shorten, you know, the way they work with dopamine and your brain's reward system is, it might be a little bit more concerning than you think. You know, it's basically tricking your brain into thinking that it's accomplished something, but you actually haven't. Now, if you're playing for fun here and there, sure, that's fine, but, there are a lot of people who spend too much time in front of the computer. It's still something I, you know, have struggled with, and the fact that I do this for a living certainly makes it, you know, I have to be in front of a screen for much of the day. But in general, when it comes to thinking about how I'm going to spend my free time, I'm thinking about how I can do things away from a screen. So, Donald Reagan, any advice for College Republican infiltration? Yeah, get in there, find out who the hardcore Trump supporters are, find out what videos they watch, maybe recommend them Molly New. You know, don't dox yourself, no need to proceed carefully, but I mean, if you get involved with College Republicans, maybe you can convince them to do demonstrations against immigration, mass immigration on campus, or illegal immigration. That could be pretty good too. I mean, what we do is good. It's definitely a niche thing. I'd like to see people in the MAGA community doing more activism. That's why I tweeted out, like, when, amidst all of this deplatforming and censorship that's going on, where are these mass rallies in support of free speech against this stuff? I don't see it happening. Ann Coulter, Tucker Carlson, all of these people have massive followings, like Cernovich, Sandra Fairbanks. And, you know, I want these people to be planning massive rallies that people go to, that I can go to. Because if I thought I planned a rally like this and people would show up, you know, I would totally do it. We'll see how things go later this year. We'll see, you know, if as this organization grows, more and more people want to show up. But, you know, in order to have, like, really big protests be successful, I think you need to have the broader right, not just the dissenter. Logan, how fast would Europa be saved if everyone quit video games and learned basic financial literacy? Europa would be saved overnight. Absolutely, I absolutely support that message.